Now, does it bother you what your pilot is wearing when you see him going into the cockpit? I mean, I'm not talking about whether he's wearing a Bintang T-shirt and a pair of thongs, but Qantas has now brought in these new regulations where they're not allowing their pilots to have handlebar moustaches anymore. They're not allowing horseshoe moustaches or trucker moustaches, and they've got to wear their jackets and buttoned up and all this kind of thing, and epaulets and all that kind of stuff. But do you think it's important to you how the pilot looks? Does it give you a sense of, I don't know, trust, authority? Give us a call, 922-11882. Let's have a chat to recently retired Emirates captain, James Nixon. Good afternoon, James.
Good afternoon, Adam. How are you going?
Very well, thanks, mate. It's an interesting set of rules here that Qantas is bringing in. What's the purpose? Are these things important to airline? I guess they are.
Well, for a start, it's not new. The manual for how you look as a Qantas pilot has been out there for about 30, 40 years. So there's always been a manual on how to look, the look and feel. The whole thing's a game by the marketing department. It's nothing to do with how good you fly the airplane or how good a pilot you are. It's to give customers, the passengers, the sense of confidence. And that's the whole reason that airlines and ships have uniforms. It helps in an emergency. If there's an emergency, people like to look at a person who's in control. And the idea is someone wearing a hat, you follow them. If you're in a life raft, sure, the person who's sitting in the end of the life raft always wears his hat. So it comes back from the nautical age, and it comes back from the Second World War, and it comes back from Empire Flying Boat scheme that Qantas was in.
Yeah.
And that's where Qantas started this. You know, they're the second airline in the world, and for years and years they had the Empire Flying Boats, and you had to have all the nautical terms, port and starboard. Those ideas, we use left and right.
Okay.
But port and starboard is all aviation,
but taken over from
nautical terms. Purser was a purser from the ship. Purser. That's, yeah, it all came from ships.
Come aboard, all that kind of stuff. But I guess, I mean, in nautical times, you could, beards were almost compulsory.
Mandatory, yeah.
Yeah.
In the Navy. Well, they were prevalent up until about 1995, when some very smart person, probably someone who was not very hirsute and maybe couldn't raise a beard, in Cathay Pacific, wrote a letter to Boeing and asked them for a ruling on, are the beards preventing a proper seal with the oxygen mask? And of course, Boeing had no idea. No, this is a true story. And they put out an edict. It went out worldwide. The lawyers got onto it and said, crikey, you know, these oxygen masks, of course, if you've got a beard, it won't make a perfect seal. So they wrote a letter to every pilot or every airline, which went around the world in about 1996, saying that they couldn't guarantee the effectiveness of an oxygen mask if you had facial hair. So occupational health and safety was just starting to get going. Around the world, all these letters came out saying, righto, guys, shave your beards off.
There you
go. It just so happened, we had a guy in Ansett, world-renowned, called Father Christmas. He looked like Father Christmas, a big white bushy beard, and he was quite rotund, and he didn't like this idea of being told he wasn't to wear his beard anymore. And he was the fleet manager of the 727, so he got a green texture color, put the mask on when he was at work one day, drew around the mask with his green texture color, went home and got his wife to shave the inside of his beard. So when he wore his oxygen mask, he looked normal. And he'd take this mask off, take his beard off, the mask off, and he had this oxygen mask shape.
Yeah, and not look very normal, I would suggest.
It didn't look very normal. And
yeah,
after about 3 days, the chief pilot of the company said, lose the beard.
Even Father Christmas lost it.
That's,
but listen,
right. So it's been going on for years.
And yeah, just, interesting. You know, interesting. Females aren't spared this as well. You've got edicts that they should only wear earrings which are plain pearl, silver, gold, or diamond. Makeup must look natural and blend with a uniform. And specifically, you cannot have brightly coloured or sparkly eyeshadow.
Yeah, well, that's a very dangerous problem, you know,
getting blinded by sparkly.
I don't know, the SFA controllers or something. But yeah, these things have been set to by the marketing department to make us all look nice. And this rule has arrived in Qantas now that you have to wear your uniform to and from the airport, etc. We had this in my previous airline. You could never go shopping in your uniform. You wore it from work to home or home to work. And the public never sees a disheveled-looking Emirates, Qantas, cabin crew or pilot. Like that. You never see an Emirates cabin crew picking up the kids from the school you only ever see that uniform when it looks spectacular and fantastic.
Yeah,
and the grooming is perfect.
I guess most
of passengers want to see. They want to buy that.
Yeah, that's right. I guess most of us don't pay much attention, but if you're afraid of flying, you may have had a bad experience. To see a well-turned-out pilot would be a positive, I'd imagine.
There was a study, and I haven't seen it since the late 1980s, that 50% of Australians were too scared to fly. So the market is very scared. And to get people to try and grow the market, we have to do everything to try and make people feel more confident about flying.
Yeah.
Flying is the only time in your life where you actually give control of your life to somebody else. And so it's very nice if you feel that the person you're giving control to looks sharp. And it's funny, I've been 31 years in this industry, and all these girls are saying, oh, I love a man in uniform, but they never come up and talk to you. Like,
they don't?
Walk to the airport,
you're
they
kidding
always
me.
Have a look at the pilots in uniform, but no one ever actually wants to grab one.
You never capitalized on the uniform, James. You're lying.
I might have wear it to the pub. No, but, but it's true. It's true. People have this look and feel about what they want to buy when they buy a ticket. They want to buy safety. And it's interesting that Qantas has now gone for the single-breasted coat, which is a great idea, because when pilots get fat and old, a double-breasted suit looks stupid.
It does.
It makes them look fatter.
Even
so
less chance
clever.
Of someone approaching you then, mate. But listen, here's some good news for travellers out of Perth from Qantas as well. Going to have a non-stop from Perth to London on the Boeing 787-9 Dreamliner. I know you're an Airbus guy, but what's this aircraft going to be like?
Well, this is a beautiful airplane. It's like the A380, the cabin pressure is very low. It's about 5,300 to 6,000 feet, which means for you that you're having a much better experience when you're flying. When you're flying the 380 and the 787, you're not so high up and you don't get hypoxia as much. If you're a heavy smoker, it doesn't bother you so much, and it makes it much more relaxing and easier to sleep at night. So the 787 is great for that, and so is the A380.
What about jet lag?
The legs. Well, jet lag's nothing to do with flying around in planes for length of time. It's to do with your place on the planet.
Oh.
So it's all to do with where the sun comes up and where you are in relationship to it. Even if you're in the same time zone, even if you're flying from, say, Johannesburg to Moscow in the same time zone, if you're flying for 14 hours, you feel pretty horrible when you get out the other end regardless of what the time is doing. So jet lag is a different thing, and it doesn't affect pilots and cabin crew so much because we're never spending much time when we're at a destination. We come straight back again. But if you're going here to London, then it's going to be hitting you on day number three. The third day that you get there, the jet lag kicks in, and it'll make you feel quite tired.
Okay, so the Dreamliner will be a smooth ride and should be worth trying. Certainly it's a big jump forward for Perth.
It sure is. The only problem they've got is landing slots in London. Now, Qantas doesn't have many landing slots in London, like they've got two of them. And they're both used by A380s, one out of Sydney, one out of Melbourne. And the problem is, how are you going to get the landing slots into London? London's now going for a third runway, but I can't see it happening till the year 2025.
That's what we're hearing.
If at all, because there's going to be so many not NIMBY people carrying on about it. The lawsuits have started already.
Okay.
Get this third runway, good luck.
So it's not necessarily a done deal then?
I don't think so. The 787 was predicated on more flights more often and being able to fly from Perth to London, places like that, and from St. Louis to London rather than from New York to London. But if you've only got two runways and you've got every single slot full and a curfew, it makes more sense to go to a hub and then jump in an A380 that's got maybe 600 people on board and use those landing slots more sparingly.
We'll see what happens, but it's a year away anyway, so we shall see. Thank you so much, James.
Thanks very much for having me.
Yeah, pleasure. That's retired Emirates captain James Nixon there on the changes to the Qantas uniform there. And as James says, the enforcement of the long-held manual and so forth. But does it make a difference to you how your pilot looks? Have you ever seen a shabby pilot? I don't think so. A couple in Africa flying smaller planes sometimes, which was a bit scary, actually. So they just come straight from the pub or something anyway. But also this idea, would you like to fly non-stop from Perth to London? Who wouldn't want to do that? Give us a call, 922-11-882.